present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to what is the 20th series of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. In honour of this occasion, we specially organised for ourselves a brilliantly entertaining show. And if Tim's still got the tickets, we'll be nipping out to see it as soon as it's played on. Our teams this week are on my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Willie Rushton. And on my left, Barry Cryer and the man whom critics have referred to as Paul Merton. And it gives me enormous pleasure, as it would anyone in my position, to welcome back our lovely scorer, Samantha. Right, teams, I'd like to start with a round called School Reports. Order, please. As you'll be aware, the end-of-term reports that children receive at school often tell us a great deal about what they'll be doing in later life. Gary Lineker's report said simply, quite outstanding, bound to score. Funny enough, so do Samantha's, but... teams, I'd like you to suggest for me, please, some school reports for famous or infamous people. Paul, would you start, please?
Magnus Magnusson, he asks too many questions when we get on in life. Goodbye and thank you for having me. I think this is a wonderful game, can I say?
I got one for Ernest Saunders, which is, I was sorry he was too ill to come and see me in my study, but delighted he won the cross country in the afternoon.
Barry.
He'd forgotten he got Alzheimer's.
Well, that's relaxed the nation.
This is Jeremy Beadle's school report. Jeremy's always up to mischief. How he laughed when he set fire to Mr. Humphrey's wooden leg and burnt him to the ground. He also put a drawing pin on Miss Latimer's chair. He does that to all the staff. Whenever you see Jeremy, you know there's a prick looming.
You see, Magnus really? Magnusson is chairman of Marston's. He asked quite a lot of questions, and that was what I was referring to.
Willie.
Lord Chief Justice Lane could try harder.
I got one from Peter Snow from his headmaster. He's the 9-year-old schoolboy. Why does he talk to me as if I'm one? Perhaps he could confine his answers to a simple yes or no rather than a full explanation using the school's computer, the sandpit, and the entire contents of Matron's wardrobe.
Okay, so we've gone to the next game now. In this one, we have some music. That's what it says here, anyway. This is a round called Singing Sprint. It involves one team singing a song as fast as they can, with the opposing team singing a different song and trying to beat their time. As usual, the BBC hasn't given me a stopwatch, but we'll get the rough idea of who won by the end of it. To make it difficult, teams, I shall be deducting points for insensitivity of rendition. And to make it completely impossible, I shall ask Colin Sell to accompany you on the piano. I'd like you to start now, Barry and Paul, and your song is Unchained Melody. Colin.
Yes, I'm sorry, Hump. I got the wrong music out.
Colin Sell could do better.
Darling, I've hungered for your touch a long, lonely time. Time goes by so slowly, and time can do so much. Are you still mine? I need your love, I need your love. Godspeed your love to me. Lonely rivers flow to the sea, to the sea, to the open arms of the sea. Lonely rivers sigh, wait for me, wait for me. I'll be coming home, wait for me. Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch a long, lonely time. The time goes by so slowly, and time can do so much. Are you still mine? I need your love, I need your love. Godspeed your love to me.
Not much to beat there, Tim and Willie. I'd like you to sing Younger Than Springtime.
Oh,
Young in the springtime are you, soft and starlight are you, warm in the winds of pure love, gentle lips you gave me, gale and laughter are you, sweet in music are you, eggs of love, heaven and earth are you to me, and when your arms and joy invade my heart and fill my heart as now they do, then young in the springtime am I, gale and laughter am I, eggs of love, heaven and earth are I in you.
With you, a good effort.
Thank you.
Our next round is called Topical Nursery Rhyme. This takes as its subject those delightful little rhymes that we were all taught as children. As educated listeners will know, such rhymes should certainly not be dismissed as mere nonsense, since many of them refer to genuine historical characters and incidents. Humpty Dumpty, interestingly enough, was in fact the unfortunate Sir Humpty Fitz Dumpty, a very large Elizabethan egg who fell off a wall. However, for children bereft of such insights, it must be difficult to see the point of it. With this in mind, teams, I'd like you to suggest suitable alterations to well-known nursery rhymes to make them more relevant to life as we know it today. Paul.
Hey, diddle, diddle, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumped over the moon, the little dog laughed because he was on hallucinogenic drugs. It doesn't rhyme, it's a sort of social comment, isn't it?
Yeah, good. 6 marks for social comment. Right,
A bit more social comment. Georgie Porgy Pudding and Pie kissed the girls and made them cry. The next thing he did was have a quick snort, and now he's a judge in the Supreme Court.
Barry.
There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children she didn't know what to do. Obviously.
Willie.
Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get a poor dog a bone. When she got there, the cupboard was bare, so she fitted a mobile phone.
The modern version of that would be Mother Teresa went to the freezer.
Paul.
The grand old Duke of York, he had 10,000 men, but then again, you know how people talk.
Barbar Blackrod, have you any wool sack? yes, sir, 3 bags full. Sack. One for the speaker, she's now a dame, and one for Sir Geoffrey Howe, who lives down the lane.
Ride a cock horse to Banbury Cross to see a fine lady upon a white horse. With rings on her fingers and bells on her toes, the reason I'm going, she's forgotten her clothes.
Is that all?
Simple Simon wore a Walkman going to the fair. Said Simple Simon to the pieman, what?
Sing a song of £483,000.
Okay, well, we better hurry along.
Lady Bird, fly away home. Your house is on fire and your children have been put in contact with local social services.
Jack Sprat would eat no fat, his wife would eat no lean, and so between them both, you see, they had very little in common.
You look pregnant, Barry.
Trick of the light.
It'll be named after you, Hum.
Have you got another nursery rhyme?
No, I haven't.
Oh, good. Well, we've gone to the next game, then. This is the round called Tag Wrestling. This is similar to the sport of wrestling in very few ways indeed, but it does conjure up the image of portly men making a tremendous fuss about nothing. So I think we'll keep the title. I shall give each team the last line of a story and then ask one team to start telling a story to fit their punchline. When I make a noise like this, and I have to tell listeners at home that about 4 series ago, the electronic buzzer, which I used to have, ran out of batteries. And they gave me this thing which was bequeathed to the BBC by the late Harpo Marx. And it's sprung a leak, so it's very difficult to get a noise out of it. But when I make a noise like this... a member of the opposing
His
team...
His thumb's gone.
Now use the hooter, go on.
A member of the opposing team will have to take up the story and make it fit their punchline. And so on until one team finishes or I lose my horn. With Samantha here to keep an eye on it, I can't see it going very fast. Paul and Barry, your tagline is... Are you ready to take it down?
Yes, yes.
She picked it up, kissed it, and in a puff of yellow smoke, it was miraculously transformed into a handsome David Mellor. Tim and Willie, your tagline is, "It fits," exclaimed Imelda Marcos to the wolf as she wrestled with the enormous waterproof carpet slipper.
Enormous what?
Carpet slipper.
Enormous carpet slipper. Something adjective?
His years have gone.
Enormous carpet slipper, that's it.
Paul and Barry.
Yes, waterproof.
Will you start your story, please?
Waterproof, thank you.
Paul or Barry, who would you like, huh?
Which you decide amongst yourselves.
Tim.
Barry, you start, please.
There was a young princess, and she thought, "I'm tired of the land in which I live. I want to go to foreign exciting lands." This is fictional, of course. And jumped on a fairy jet.
To the Philippines. "David Mellor," shouted Lady Chatterley. "You're fired." "Enter left, Imelda Marcos." Who is the wolf, incidentally? Oh, I know, you call, yes, Imelda Marcos. There she is, marching firmly across the Filipino grasslands, when suddenly towards her comes this appalling-looking man, a wolf, by chance.
And behind the wolf was this frog. And it was a frog with huge, bulging eyes, and it gave her a sort of funny look, and she looked at the frog, and the frog looked at her, and together they went to the pictures, and they saw marvellous films over the next weekend, and then they decided to go together steady. See, Magnus Magnusson, he was the host. And then the frog said, "You know, I could possibly turn into somebody else."
"In fact, I could turn into a wolf, if required." "Oh," said Imelda. "Oh." She's at the cinema. It is, it's uncanny. "As we're having these elections to become princess of my fair land, Mr. Frog Wolf, would you please put these enormous carpet slippers on my ears? Because to be princess of the Philippines, you have these traditional diamond waterproof carpet slippers." "Oh, please, huh?"
And the frog said, "As I've done you the great favour of putting carpet slippers on your ears, you owe me a favour." And he whispered in her ear, and she picked it up and kissed it in a puff of yellow smoke. It was rapidly transformed into a handsome David Mellor.
Runaway, runaway victory for Tim and Willie. No, Paul and Barry, sorry.
The hoots are not working, Hump.
In our next round, the teams will take it in turns to be smugglers and customs officers. Team members will try to smuggle illicit items through customs by concealing them in longer words or phrases. The customs officers can challenge at any time if they notice something suspicious. Now, Tim and Willie, you're going to go first, and your objects to smuggle are the names of famous composers.
Oh, Willie, have you got the list of things we pack for our holiday?
Yes.
Oh, good. We're going to the Algarve. I'm looking forward to filling a glass of Vino Verde. It's nice to get away from Britain, isn't it, Willie? I've been so busy lately.
Wish you'd do one.
I'm looking forward to some sea, sun and sand, or is it sand, sun and sea? I've got the Andrew Lloyd Webbers. That's okay, officer, isn't it? Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Nearly.
It's there somewhere.
Nearly.
Oh, I thought I was only allowed not to take composers. Anyway, I only appear to have packed one shoe, but I'm sure the others hiding somewhere in my... Willie, who's that?
It's a Bart somewhere.
Bark to Willie.
Ah.
Willie, who's that over there?
He's a coal porter from Berlin who rogers the low and lesser. Smuggle, Sondheim.
It's all
HR officer.
So now, Tim and Willie, you're going to listen to Barry and Paul give their objects which they're trying to smuggle in. They're going to try and smuggle in famous novelists.
Excuse me, have you read this?
No, I haven't actually. What is it?
Who's it by?
Her Majesty Customs and Excise, I think, says it on. Well, let me see what we've got here. I hope there's nothing amiss. We've got...
Watch out before he...
Challenge
buys.
From Willie
Neville
Rushton.
Shoot!
One
is that
point.
A command?
He will appear later if he hasn't appeared already, or he certainly should, if they've forgotten about him. And Thackeray.
Challenge from Tim.
Are the brothers Grimm? That's just what they're looking
That's
like.
2 points.
Watch out before he burrows in your case. He might find my naked lunch. It's a sort of pasta snack. And,
I've got this old rose bush I'm just taking through. It's got a bit of a blight on it, but other than that, it's fine.
My wife, Joyce, is with me. She didn't want to come, so I forced her. And,
Challenge from Tim.
Arthur Ransom.
No, I'm overruling that one.
Oh.
What the dickens is this trollop doing in here?
Thackeray!
That's as good a word to end the game on as any I've heard. Right, have you finished? Yes, I have, anyway. Okay, teams, we're going to play a game now called Complete Quotes. Very often when people in the public eye are drawn into conversation by the media, they become self-conscious, and quite frequently they completely forget what they're saying in the middle of a sentence. I know the feeling. That's a bit stupid of them, you might say, but you must take my word for it that the life of a celebrity is seldom easy, and the infinite pressures they're under can result in the occasional enforced error, unforced error. I shall play you each recordings of some of these interrupted sentences, and I'd like you, please, to finish them off. For you, Willie, now, here's Margaret Thatcher.
Very thrilled, too, that Dennis's tremendous work has been recognised. You know, he's done it in his own style, in his own way.
But always in somebody else's bathroom.
Barry, I've got one for you here. Dan Quayle.
Because the question you're asking is what kind of qualifications does Dan Quayle have to be president? What kind of qualifications do I have, and what would I do in this kind of a situation? And what would I do in this situation? I would...
Sorry, what was the question again?
Tim.
Hello.
Here's Andrew Lloyd Webber for you.
I don't think we have, really, you see. I think that Sondheim is, of course, a different animal to me in the sense that he's a...
human being, and I'm a fish.
Paul, we have one of our newer MPs here, Giles Brandreth.
I'm Giles Brandreth, parliamentary candidate for the city of Chester, and sometime holder of the world record...
seven times winning the annual Gitna sweater competition.
Okay, here we'll throw this one to all of you. Anybody who gets an idea can answer it. Paul Daniels.
I think it's very peculiar in this country in that I've had a top-rated television series.
I think that's it, isn't it?
That's it, I think, yes. Willie, here's one for you. Prince Charles.
It really says.
Because we always used to get them from South America. Now they're virtually all homebred. I got one
large sack of Bolivian marching powder, but no one is coming on delightfully in his greenhouse. Indeed, I talk to it quite frequently. Hello, marijuana. I don't understand what it says back. Is it South American? Latin.
Barry, here's for you. Here's Jet. Have you finished, Willie?
No. I'd like to apologise to the pyramids.
Barry, here's Gerald Kaufman.
When I walked through the door, I didn't experience the smell which used to greet me here when I came through the door, and which was the smell of
Jodie Foster. Reference to Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, I see, yes.
One of Magnus Magnusson's favourite films.
Said the frog.
Tim. Tim, the speaker here is David Icke.
Well, now I look back at the highlights of the weekend, and it was a weekend on this occasion dominated by football, cricket, and more than anything,
interplanetary travel. Bless him.
Paul, one more for you. Kenneth Branagh.
To be or not to be.
Chelsea 1. Manchester City 0.
Another free-for-all here. Michael Winner.
When I was 5, I rarely gave my first film show, and that was
Villiers Wastes Noddy 3.
Okay. Right. Oh, those of you listening at home will probably want to know what the scores are now. We're going on to the next game. When I was idly twiddling my radio knob in search of light entertainment, I occasionally hear that entertaining show with Paul Merton and Nicholas Parsons, and he called Just a Minute. Teams, I'd like you to play a round of our very own version of this program entitled Just a Minim. All the minor obstacles of the original game stay the same, but with the addition of the major obstacle of Colin on the piano. So, teams, I'd like you to sing a song of my choosing without repetition, deviation, hesitation, or repetition. You may buzz to challenge. Barry, will you start by singing Cheek to Cheek?
I'm in paradise, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together dancing cheek to jowl. Nirvana. I'm in Elysium, and the cares that hang around me through the week seem to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak when we're out to...
Challenge from Willie Rushton.
The second when, I think we've had. When.
Yes, correct. I had a when or two.
Repetition of B flat as well.
Am I meant to... Oh, wait a minute, yes. Will you continue the song? Willie, you made the original challenge.
Oh, ties out this cavorting buttock to bum. Oh, I love to climb a mountain and to reach the highest peak, but it doesn't thrill me half as much as leaping about like this with our bits of us stuck together. Oh, I love to go out fishing in a river or a creek, but I don't enjoy it half as
challenge.
Much as this
challenge.
Extreme intimacy.
Challenge there from Paul.
Repetition of love. I love to climb a mountain. I love to climb, whatever it was.
Repetition of half as much.
I love to go out fishing.
Half as much as well.
Half as much as well. There's two repetitions, so you carry...
I'd like to challenge for deviation, my team member.
Yes,
you can.
I'll uphold that as well. So we'll now toss a coin to see who carries on. Paul,
first on cheek.
Paul, you challenge first. Carry on singing.
Dance with me. I want my arm about you. The charm that sort of...
Challenge from Tim.
Repetition of notes.
That's a silly
thing. They are the only ones I brought with me.
Oh, fair enough. Sorry, I withdraw the challenge.
Challenge withdrawn. Carry on, Paul.
Will carry me through to heaven. I mean...
Challenge from Willie.
We've had heaven.
But he hasn't sung heaven
no.
before.
Yes, no. Yes, he has.
I don't think you sang... Did you sing Heaven before?
No.
He's sung like Heaven, but he hasn't actually sung Heaven.
Doesn't matter. It has been sung before.
Ruling on that hump, I think.
This could go to the European court.
Carry on, Paul.
I'm in Eden and my heart beats so that I can hardly sing, and I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together jibing cheek to cheek. Ah!
Okay, well now, our final game is called Celebrity Sponsor. Many theatrical and sporting events these days tend to feature the names of well-known organizations prominently displayed, and often in a manner that can be distracting for an audience. This, I'm pleased to say, hasn't affected every high-budget entertainment. We, for example, are sponsored by Meals on Wheels, but because we keep our sticker out of view, only very observant listeners will notice. Teams, I'd like you to suggest some titles of shows whose sponsors have been a little too overzealous with their advertising, and I'd like you to start, please, Tim.
The Royal Shakespeare Company are doing new production of Tis a Pity She's a Horlicks.
They're also doing Oedipus Durex.
They're doing...
Rather a safe choice, I thought.
They're doing Guinness As You Like It.
This happened years ago, actually. There was a sitcom called The Fosters, you remember. Repeated on Channel 4X.
The musical My Fair Lady Shave.
another musical, Oklahoma Base.
Or Starlight Express Dairies.
Now... Over to Lord's for the Boots home pregnancy test.
Seven brides for 7-Eleven.
Home start trek.
Death and the maiden form bra.
No sex please with British home stores.
Five guys named Moe and Chandon.
The sporting contest, the FA Cup of Soup.
Five sons and lovers.
Some mother cares do have them.
The two Rennies.
Barclays Home Alone arranger.
Guys and Dulcis.
Alfa Romeo and Juliet.
Kodak.
Dancing at Lufthansa. Live and Let Dinah Rod.
A Long Day's Journey into Night Nurse.
Carnation Street.
Huckleberry Findus.
Doctor Who and the Dulux.
I hate to interrupt this flow of invention.
There's a girl in my super drug.
Whiskers galore. And for dogs, Pal Joey with marabone jelly.
Oh, the sponsorship has just been removed for King Ratner's.
Okay, teams, well, I'm sorry we've run out of time. That's all for this week. Join us again next week. In the meantime, from all of us, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Pembroke Taylor, Barry Cryer, Paul Merton and Willie Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The program was produced by John Naismith.